The following is part of the teaching ministry of Harvest Bible Chapel in Barrie, Ontario. We believe firmly in proclaiming the Word of God without apology. For more information about our church, visit our website at harvestberry.ca or email us at info@harvestberry.ca. We trust that this message will challenge and transform you.
How many people, while the whole time Dan was talking, you were just thinking, Dan, sit down. We want to get to Todd. How many of you were thinking that right? Totally. It's tough to be Dan, really. But obviously, this is a big weekend for us, and we've hyped things, I think, enough that unless you're a guest here this morning, and welcome if you are, you've hit a pretty amazing weekend to kind of come and share this with us. So either you're a guest this morning, or maybe if you live off the grid, you don't know about this, but you should know that this is really the biggest weekend in our 14-plus year history, aside from the weekend we launched the church back in 2001. So it's pretty significant. And this won't be a sermon in the usual sense of that. Think of it more like, you know, the Americans have the State of the Union address and Canadians and Brits have the speech from the throne before Parliament sits. So think of it more that way. This is the annual, you know, vision initiatives, set the course for the year, first message in January, fire up the troops kind of message. That we're really just calling the first things, talking about our priorities, the first things message for 2016. And in this year's edition, there is, as you know, a big announcement that we're going to make along the way. So I was trying to figure out how to kind of best communicate all of this. And what I've done is I've handed out 7 envelopes. I have 7 things I need to share with you today. And I've handed out 7 envelopes with 7 numbers on them. If you have one of those envelopes, could you lift that up so we can see the numbers right now? Just lift those up nice and high. Okay, so there's 7 numbers. You can see the numbers on there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get some of you to pick a number. I'm going to share what's in the envelope. And we might get to the big announcement like right away. It might be in the first number that's picked, or it might be the last number that's picked. But either way, this is going to be a lot of fun for me. and really, that's what this is all about. All right, what's our first number?
4.
Number 4, right in the middle kind of thing. Who's got number 4? Bring that up to me. All right, run that up here, Ian. Thank you. Did you look in this envelope? You were instructed not to look in this envelope. Nobody in your family looked in this envelope? All right, good. All right, so here we go. Number 4. Let's get to this. This one is titled Serving Our Community. Did I hear a moan, a groan? Over serving our community in Jesus' name from the chairman of the elders? That's weak. Serving our community. Let's talk about this for a second. One of our initiatives is 5,000 hours. And pleased to say that kind of as of making of the slide, it was 788 hours. But then we had 50 more hours put into the Bayside Mission yesterday with a small group that went and served at the mission. And so we're sitting somewhere over 800 hours. And thank you so much for what you've already been doing to make an impact in our community for the Lord. And we're going to be strongly encouraging that throughout the rest of this year. And on January 30, 31, we're going to put an emphasis on it in that service. And we've already invited several agencies to come and make have a presence in the lobby, have a table set out, and for you to be able to go by and see what they do and how you could volunteer on a regular basis and be adding to our desired goal of contributing 5,000 hours of community service into our cities and towns. And so those agencies should be up on the board right there, and on the last weekend of January, you'll have an opportunity to meet them. And on that weekend as well, in addition, we want to make an impact for the Barrie Food Bank, so we'll couple that with a food drive through this month. And so every time you're going grocery shopping over the next several weeks, pick up a few extra things. Some of the big things that are always needed are canned vegetables and lunch snacks and diapers, and so keep those things on your list and bring those things all in on January 30, 31st. We always do a drive. We usually do it not during the big drive seasons like Thanksgiving or Christmas. Generally, we've waited until more of a lean time when the food bank doesn't expect as many donations, and we try to fill in a little bit of a gap. In the past, that's been mostly in July, but we're doing it in January this year. So keep that in mind. Okay, that's envelope. That's the first one. Let's get another number here. Give me a number, any number, 1 to 7. Number two. Who's got number two? Envelope number two. All right, run that out of here. Pete, thanks. Excellent. Let's see what's in envelope number two. It's titled Right Now Media. No groaning, a little applause. That's good. We're learning. We are passionate about making disciples here at Harvest. We're doing all that we can to cultivate ongoing growth, spiritual growth in our lives, and that's why we're excited about this new digital resource that's available. It's called Right Now Media. I'm going to have you watch a 2.5-minute video, then I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit more about it. So let's roll the tape.
Our church is a light in the darkness, a city on a hill. Every believer is called to make a difference in the world, to love God completely, and to make disciples of every nation. But in this busy, mobile, noisy world, it can be difficult to even do the basics, to pray, to read the Word, to bring the love of God to our marriages, families, neighbors, and co-workers. We know you're here because you want to be a part of God's mission on the earth. You want to experience the abundant life that Scripture talks about. You're looking to connect your faith to every part of your life, every day of the week. That's why our church is subscribing to Right Now Media and making it available for free to every member of our church. You'll have access to over 10,000 online Bible study videos on parenting, marriage, finance, discipleship, leadership, and many more. The videos can be used in Bible study groups or for personal devotion. There's also a huge library of safe biblical kids videos. We'd love to see every member of our church utilizing Right Now Media. Small group leaders leading their adult or youth groups through engaging Bible study series. Children enjoying safe programming that doesn't just entertain, but helps lay a strong spiritual foundation. Families spending quality time together, going through devotional Bible studies. Couples using biblical studies on marriage, parenting, and finance. Applying God's Word to every area of their lives. There is something for everyone. We want to help you grow as a disciple of Christ, and we want to help you become a disciple maker in your home, your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, in whatever mission field God has called you to. We believe that this free resource will help equip and unleash you to live out your faith in every area of life, to experience God-centered, abundant life, not just on Sundays, but every day. We are for you, and God is for you. He wants to empower you every day to live for Him. Together, we can be a light in the darkness, a city on a hill.
Well, this really is a Christian version of Netflix that you can access on your computer or your smartphone or on your tablet. And Harvest, as you saw in the video, Harvest has paid the subscription for everyone. It's one license fee that we've paid, and you're all going to get access to it for free. So if you're a member or a regular attender and you're in our database, we have your email address. You're going to get an email at noon today that's going to invite you to sign up for this, and you'll have full access to all of the videos that are there. And if for some reason you don't get an email, we have the wrong address, or we don't have your email address, then you can go to harvestberry.ca/rightnowmedia, and you can sign up on our webpage at that site. And here's a cool thing. It's not just for our church family, but you can invite friends and family who are connected to you to be an extension of our Harvest family, and you can invite others. We really do want to just get the resources out there and into the hands of as many people as we possibly can. Again, totally free to you. You don't have to put your credit card in or anything like that. It's really just sign up using your email address. And so we're excited about all of that. And I know, I don't know about you, what you're already thinking about concerning that, but this afternoon after these three services, I'm going home to binge watch VeggieTales this afternoon. And praise the Lord for that. We need another envelope. Who's got one? Terry, despite your huffing at the first one, have you got a number for me?
Seven.
Ooh, that's tricky. Who's got number seven? Denisha. Bring that one up. So you think the last one probably has it in it. Let's see. All right, this one is titled Planting Churches. Okay, all right. So we do have the joy and privilege of being part of the Harvest Bible Fellowship, and this is just a little update on what has happened in 2015 and what's going to happen in the first part of 2016. We are excited to be a part of all of this. But in 2015, 14 brand new churches were started, planted around the world. And our emphasis as a church, we are the lead church for West Central Africa with a focus on Cameroon right now. And we planted Harvest in Bamenda, Cameroon in 2015. So that's one of the 14 churches that we're directly involved with. 24 church planters and worship leaders were trained. Those church planters who were trained are going to be planting in 2016. 28 short-term mission teams were sent. 8 different language groups are represented in our fellowship now in 16 countries on 4 continents. And we now have 155 total church plants. And to put that in perspective of how quickly that's grown, we were in 2001, just 15 years ago, we were number 4. And so 151 churches have been planted since we were planted just 15 years ago. And all of those churches are in 7 predominant religious systems around the world. And so lots of opportunity for the gospel. And praise God for what he's done. Amen? And, and it really is an incredible privilege for us to be a part of all of this. And so just in January now, 3 brand new churches are planting. In fact, the first of these, Charleston, South Carolina, is planting this morning. This is our first church in South Carolina. Our 3rd church in Haiti is launching this month, and our 7th church in Romania. And the neat thing about what's happening in Romania as well, this year we'll see the starting of our 2nd training center, so that all of the training for all the church planters to date has happened in Chicago. That's now being reproduced in Arad, Romania, so that all of our Eastern European planters will be trained in Europe to plant in Europe. And so we're excited about that. And another center is starting in St. Vincent and the Grenadines in the Caribbean to reach the English-speaking Caribbean this year as well. So very excited about all that's going on in our fellowship. Let's praise God for that too. Amen. All right, we need another envelope number. What? Hold up the envelopes we still have left here. What do we have left? 5? Pick one for me.
2.
Is 2 still available?
No.
2 is not available. Pick another one. 5 is available. Bring that one up here, Kathy. Thank you. You think this is the one? Well, are you? Kathy's pretty excited. She thinks number 5 is the one. This one is titled 2015 Financial and More Campaign Report. So good, right, Josh? Amazing, amazing. All right. So not a full financial report, really just a couple of minutes to let you know how we finished 2015 on the revenue side of things. And we adjusted the budget partway through 2015. We just weren't trending where we thought we were going to. So we adjusted the budget to 1.146. And our actual giving in 2015 was 1.154, which means giving over budget was about $8,000. So praise the Lord for that. So if our expenses now, as our expenses all come in over the next few weeks, if those come under $1.15 million, we finish the year in the black, and we added just over $20,000 to our savings along the way. So that's a good year, and certainly grateful to God for his provision through you and your faithfulness to give this year. And I would just say in 2016, let's just do that again, amen? Let's do that again to God's glory. Now, as for the MORE campaign and building fund, we collect for both of those things. MORE is an end-of-year campaign, and the building fund is kind of an ongoing thing. We had a goal of $125,000, and that was going to be for 2 initiatives, and then the bulk of the money was going to just be added to our building and land fund. And as of Friday, we brought in for MORE and building $125,005. So praise the Lord for that. And by the way, our building and land fund now has $454,000 in it, which I don't know, we might need that soon. I'm not sure. All right, let's get another envelope here. Tanya, what number should we pick next? We got envelopes here. Hold the numbers up. What do we have left? 1, 3, 6. What number? 3? All right, where's number 3? Bring that one up, Lucy. Thank you. Number 3. Let's see if Tanya picked the winner. This one is titled, A Place of Our Own. No prizes for picking that, Tanya, but you got the applause of the church. So, A Place of Our Own. So this is the part I think that you've been super eager to hear. And let me just say, on Wednesday, December 9th, after years of searching and many dead ends, we placed an offer on a building in the city of Barrie. That's not a secret, of course, because we asked you to pray. And after 2 weeks of back and forth negotiations that spanned the Christmas season, on Monday, December 28th, we received word that the vendor had accepted our offer. And so I am pleased to tell you we have a contract in place, and in essence, Harvest, we've bought a building, all right? Amen. 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 All right, let's get another envelope. What?
Let's hear more.
Oh, you want to hear more? Well, what would you like to know?
Where
it is. You want to know what building it is? Oh. Well, I'm excited to tell you that, Lord willing, in the next few months, we will take possession of the Army Navy Air Force Club building on 7 George Street in the center of our city. So how many people have been in this building sometime over the last few years? And we're finding that in all the services that really a lot of us have been inside of this building and know it fairly well. It was fun last night to we record it just on a iPhone, last night's announcement, and we said we have 35 youth and leaders who are really disappointed that they couldn't be here today because they're at winter camp, but they watched it at 11 p.m. last night and had a great celebration when all of this was announced to them. And let me give you this, 7 reasons why we believe 7 George Street is our best option, all right? First of all, the central location, and you can see that on the map there, that it's right off Highway 400. It's just off Ann Street, just south of Dunlop, and it's really literally a minute off of the 400. It's 7 kilometers from this location to Ann Street or to 7 George Street, so straight up Essa and then a left at Ann, and you're pretty much right at the building, 7 kilometers or 4.4 miles. We love the fact that it's in the heart of the city, and very often when churches are looking to build fresh, they go to the outskirts of the city because land sizes and land costs are often prohibitive in the core of the city. There's just nothing available. And so this is really an interesting move to be moving into the core of the city from the outskirts. And we're excited about what that's going to mean for our ministry. We know that every move like this, a move to a different building, a new facility, a new part of town, can mean changes in how you do ministry. And we're excited about the opportunities that God is going to give us in this new location. Secondly, I would say that the benefit of an existing building versus purchasing raw land really shortens the occupancy time by years. And if I were coming to you today and saying, we bought a piece of land, we have this 10 acres, we're going to build on it, we would really be talking about 5 to 7 more years before we would be able to occupy it. It just takes that long to get through all the approvals and processes and get everything in place for that. So this speeds up the timeline considerably and allows us to get into it in a timely way. Third, I would say the value of renovating an existing facility versus new construction makes this much more affordable. We had our architect run some comparable comparison really of new construction for a similar size building on a similar piece of land in the city, and we were looking at, are you ready for this? We were looking at somewhere between $4 and $5 million more than what we're going to be able to do on this particular facility. Fourth, the vendor has been very amenable to our plans, and it really fits well with theirs. And of course, they're an institution, they're an organization that does some charitable work, and so we have we've had a great time negotiating with them, and this fits well for them, and it fits well for us, and they've been very easy to work with to date, and we're looking forward to having a good relationship going forward with them as we continue the process. I would say this, too, that by process of elimination, this is the one building that stood out and worked for us. And you got to imagine that it's been many, many years that I've been searching, and then Dave, one of our elders, has been assisting me more in earnest in the last couple of years, and we have gone down a lot of roads, a lot of paths. We often think of God's word in terms of doors that are in front of us and open doors and closed doors, and that being a revealer of God's will. And we've pushed on a lot of doors. We've knocked on a lot of doors. We've tried the handle on a lot of doors. And some of those doors were locked and barred and electrified and laser beams and snarling dogs. And we had to back up from those doors, obviously, because we couldn't get through them. And then we got to this one, and the door cracked open. And we realized that God was providing an opportunity for us to enter in. And so really, it's the one that worked after a lot of searching. Sixth, I would say this, the current municipal zoning is not a problem at all. It actually allows a place of worship. It's a C4 commercial zoning, if you're interested in that kind of thing. It's not institutional zoning, and we are going to have discussions with the city about how to best play that all out, but it already allows places of worship, so we're not going to face any obstacles there. And seventh, the size of the building really suits our current ministry and allows for continued growth. And so again, if you're into this kind of thing, the total square footage of the building will be about 31,000 square feet once it's all finished. And we use more space than that here at Timothy right now, but it's not very efficiently. There's a lot of open space here at Timothy. 31,000 is a really good size. Basic footprint of the building is 23,000. There's more than 5,000 square feet on the second floor. And then if you know the property, there's a second building where the Berry Food Bank used to be on the property. We own that as well. It's another 3,300 square feet. That takes us just over 31,000 square feet. So lots of room for now, lots of room for growth. Our intention is to stay in three services and grow all of those services on that location, and it's going to allow us to do all of those things. It's the right size project. It's the right size building for what we need for now and into the future. We looked at other buildings that were just a lot of you mentioned to us, and we did go and look at it. Berry Central, of course, is going to be going up for sale, but it's cost prohibitive, and the size of the building is really just impossible. It would be impossible for us to even manage it. And so we found something that actually fits and is a really good option for us. So that's the seven reasons why 7 George is our best option. And then why now? And I like this picture we're going to show you next. Our architect kind of cleaned off everything around and created a computer model of the building itself. And I like this because it's a bit of a blank canvas for us to work on and to really envision and dream about what God could make this for us. And we took this and we took out actually all the color on the building, and we sent a black line copy into our Harvest Kids department this morning. So the kids are all coloring in, and I've got several of those on my iPhone already. So we're getting some design ideas already from Harvest Kids, and we're excited to see what they come up with. And we'll be showing those to you as well along the way. But one of our elders cited this. Again, this is the why now. One of our elders cited Deuteronomy 2:2. It was kind of a funny verse to think about. And we're not seeing this as a direct fulfillment of what we're doing. That wouldn't be like the right use of the scripture. But it is kind of funny to think about. Deuteronomy 2:2, the Lord said to me, "You've been traveling around this mountain country long enough." Okay, enough wandering around, enough temporary, enough with this church in a box thing. But the next two words are really funny. Turn northward. Now think, if you know your maps, you know that when you look at this at Google Map, where we are right now, you go exactly due north, 6 kilometers as the crow flies, and you'll land right at the location of 7 George Street. And so it seemed to make sense in a funny way that this is the property for us, and the Lord is speaking to us and saying to us, long enough, it's been long enough. Let's get at it. And so that really is, as we think about why now, it's time. It's been almost 15 years of what one pastor said to me is church in a box. And that's us. We pack it up every week and we take it all out again next week. And by the time we get into 7 George Street, I'm going to share the timeline with you in a few moments. We will surpass, by the time we get into it, we will surpass over 800 weekends of temporary facility situation as a church, of church in a box. And so I really do believe we're ready. And I believe we're ready for another reason as well. I believe we're ready as a church. We've never been stronger. We've never been more unified. We've never been more on mission. We've never been more passionate about what we're doing. We've never been deeper in our relationships with one another. It hasn't always been that way, and we've been through our rough patches, but this, to me, in terms of the preparation for us as a church, this is the time. we're ready to do this now. And I don't believe we were ready at any other time in our short history. I would say this too, that we're capped out. We're not capped out in the sense that there isn't room for people. You can look around and see some empty chairs and we could accommodate more people here at 11, and there was room at 9, and there was certainly room last night at 5 o'clock. And so we have room to accommodate more people. There's still room to park some cars. That really isn't the issue. But there is something at play here that I'll just confess to you as your pastor, I don't really like it. And I don't think it's particularly biblical, but we have to respond to it. And it is the notion that you're not a real church until you have a building. And every once in a while, people will visit here and go, yeah, you know, we like a lot about it, but you don't have your own building, or you're still in a gym, or when are you going to get a church? And I even had a text from a pastor friend. It was a tongue-in-cheek, sarcastic little text. He said, oh, I heard about the big announcement. Congratulations on becoming a real church. And he's in a temporary situation, so I totally took the heart of it. And I said, yeah, someday you'll be a real church too. That was Mike Armstrong, for those of you who want to know. So we love that guy. And there is this sense, though, because of the culture we live in. The church went 300 years from the ascension of Christ before there were really church buildings. And church doesn't have to be. I mean, I would just ask you the question, are we a real church or not? Yes. Well, for sure we are. And a building doesn't define whether you're a real church at all. But the reality is, in our culture, people kind of look at it that way, and we don't want the building to be a hindrance in any way. We don't want not having a building to be a hindrance. We want to do whatever is going to facilitate the making of disciples and the preaching of the gospel. That's our goal. That was our goal when we were at Emma King Elementary School for 4 years. That's been our goal for more than a decade now that we've been here at Timothy. It will be our goal, Lord willing, when we go into 7 George Street. It's about making disciples, and we want to have that first and foremost in our minds. And so we want to remove every hindrance to our growth. And if you're doing everything right, we've known this to be true throughout our fellowship as different churches have been planted, that when a church is doing a lot of things right and when the momentum is there, when they get into a building, in those cases where that's happened, the building ends up being an accelerant to growth. And we want to continue to grow, because all the growth means more disciples, more passionately serving Jesus Christ. And so that's our goal, really, in all of this. We want to take away every hindrance to growth. And then I would just say this, finally, why now? The arrangement with Timothy has been incredible to us. It's been a blessing to us. It's been a blessing to them. It's been very mutually beneficial to be here. As we have supported them financially through the leases that we've paid, and they've been so gracious to have us in their building. But we can't guarantee that Timothy Christian School is always going to want us here. And one of the realities that we've been calculating out is that we put as much wear and tear on this building as they do in a week. We have as many or more people visits in a more concentrated fashion, but as many people visits to this campus as they do with all of their students and parents who come through here in a week. And at some point, they may decide that we're not worth all the wear and tear on their building. I don't know what the reason would be. I don't know if for sure that it would ever really happen. But they have the option in our lease currently to have us leave with 90 days notice. And I've surveyed the landscape in Barrie, and it would be very difficult for us to find a venue for a church our size to be able to continue. And so the clock is ticking in some ways. We have to make this decision. We can't guarantee that this is always going to be here. This is not a permanent solution, and we need that. And so that, for all those reasons, that's why we would do that. The time is now, and we believe 7 George Street is the place. So what do you think? Yeah? Amen. Amen. So I got a do and I got a don't for you before we go to the next envelope. All right, the do is, and I don't think I even have to tell you this, do drive through the parking lot and stop and pray. Do that, that God would go before us in all of this before we get the keys to the place. But please, here's the don't, please don't go up to the door and ask if you can look around. Don't do that. Do not do that at all. We don't own the building for some time yet. We don't want to upset the good folks at the Army Navy Air Force building as they carry on their activities there. We will be scheduling times for the church to walk through, and we will be doing open houses there and giving you opportunities to see the building on the interior. But please don't Don't go to the door and ask, just restrict your access to the parking lot and pray for what God is going to do. All right, we need another envelope. What do we have left? We have two left, right? Hold those up. Where are the two? What do we want, one or six?
When.
So you want one or six?
One.
Do you want one or six?
Six.
Olivia, I'll take six now. All right. When? Got to pick an envelope, brother. You can't just yell out. It's coming. It's coming. All right. This one is called 2016 at a Glance. This is the timeline. See that, brother? You're just way ahead of me. That's all. We're calling this year a year of preparation, and I'm going to say more about this in a few moments when we get into Isaiah 40, because we want to cap off our time in the Word, don't we? We want to cap off and hear from the Lord. We want to pray. We want to worship. We want to take the Lord's table because we want His favor on everything that we're going to do this year, every decision we're going to make, every step that we take. We want God's favor. We just finished this series in Exodus with Moses, and in Exodus 33, Moses said, "Unless you go with us, do not send us." And I would say, with all the passion I can muster, I don't want to do 7 George Street unless the Lord goes with us. We don't want that. I'd rather stay here and carry on as we are. If God is not in this thing, we don't want to do it. So we're seeking the Lord's favor. We're going to get into God's word in a few moments. But as far as the timeline with regard to prayer and preaching and the building and the capital campaign that we're going to get into, let me run through some of this. And we've got this. Here's what the calendar is going to look like. And let's talk first about prayer, because we're going to need something unexplainable to happen here. And I don't doubt that God could do one large miracle, as He's done for several of our Harvest Bible Chapels in various places around North America in particular. God's provided a building in a one-time, big-time miracle. And it happened in Markham. It happened in Oakville, where our church plant teams were somehow connected and brought together with an existing church that said, "Hey, look, our thing's not working anymore. Let's put our things together." And poof, they had a building. It happened in Denver. It happened in Kansas City. It's happened in Chicago several times with their campuses, so that every time it happens in Chicago and I'm talking to Pastor James or Pastor Rick, I'm like, I'm just so happy for you. It's just so great how God keeps providing another building for you while we don't have one, you know? Thank you, Lord. So it just seems like the Lord wasn't going to do that. And it isn't that we didn't knock on some of those doors. And I will tell you that we knocked on the doors of two different churches in the city of Barrie about merging our things together and under their roof. And in both cases, their boards discussed it and decided that that wasn't the thing for them. And we were cool in stepping back from that. But we sought it. We looked for it. And it just didn't happen. So it just seems like the one big miracle, it's just not going to happen. But here's what I believe is going to happen. God's going to do 1,000 little miracles in our church. God's going to do some awesome things in all of your lives. And if you decide to go on this journey and go on this year of preparation and be part of this great adventure that we're going on as a church to acquire this building, if you decide to be a part of that, I believe God's going to do a miracle in your life and in your family's life. Something you're going to talk about for a long time. Yesterday we went out for breakfast. Cheryl's right here, and her mom and dad live with us, and we went out for breakfast with them, and we just started talking about all of this and what was coming up, and I didn't even tell them the name of the building. They found out last night in the service, too, but they talked about 1968 when they were part of a core group that planted a church in Markham, Ontario. It was very cool to listen to them talk about that and talk about the time when the pastor came to them and said, "We all need to go to the bank together." And a bunch of them who were part of that core group who started that church, they all went to the bank and they all signed as guarantors for a loan that the church was going to take out to build its first building. That's pretty exciting to think about and to hear them share about all of that. And what's really cool about the story, if I could tell the cap end of the story, is it was Centennial Baptist Church, which several years ago merged with our church plant group in Markham and is now Harvest Bible Chapel, York Region. And it's just cool to see how God has worked all of those years, but to hear them still, 50 years later, still talking about, wasn't that a great day when we went to the pastor and we signed that note and we made the sacrifices and we built that building? And I'm going to tell you right now, if you decide to go on this journey, God's going to do some awesome things in your life and in your family life that you're going to remember forever. And some of you are going to look back on that and say, that was the best time of our life. That was the year of greatest growth. The most awesome things happened in our lives. And that's what I'm talking about when I say 1,000 little miracles, the ones that are going to happen in your heart and in your family's life, that when we add those things all together, that's going to be one big miracle that God's going to do for our church. And so all of that is going to become, that's the unexplainable. And it's going to come because we pray. It's going to come because we get serious with our God about all of this. And we're already seeing some of these things happen. And so at the end of the month, we've already got a prayer night plan. And we're going to tell you about that and where that's going to be. And we're inviting you all to come to that prayer night. And we're going to seek God for what he has for us in this year of preparation. We're going to be forming prayer teams. And you can see that up here. And then you can see that the prayer line, the red line, spans an entire year and a half, 18 months in this year of preparation. Because everything has to be undergirded with prayer. And we want you all to be a part of that. And so that's part of it. The second thing has to do with the building itself. And our planning is going to include a lot of involvement from you. Our website is going to be live shortly with an online form that you can fill in with all of your ideas for this property, for fundraising, for design, for ministry that we can do from this facility. We want to hear from you. Our due diligence on the property is well underway. We have a very crucial date of April 1st to secure a financing plan. And inspections and all of that have already been set in motion and conversations with the city about use of the building. So you can see due diligence right now in January, February, March. Our firm date, April 1st, we have to drop all our conditions and be set to go. A design is already kind of started, but it'll be really in earnest being put together in the spring of this year and then settled by the summer. Tendering and permits would happen in September and October. Giving ourselves a little bit of room in November as buffer. We get the keys to the building now, just short of 11 months from now on December the 1st, which was really our desire. They wanted to do it earlier. We wanted to do it a little later to give ourselves more time to be ready for this. And then December, instead of celebrating Christmas, we're going to go in and demolish a building on the interior and take out a bunch of stuff. And then construction would start in the new year of 2017, 12 months from now. Construction would be underway in earnest, taking us right through the spring. And our hope is to occupy the building by June of 2017 in time for Miss Jeannie and her crew to have a day camp in that facility in the summer of 2017. And then we would have our official opening in September in tandem with our 16th anniversary as a church. So that's the timeline of all that's going to go, and you can mark all that down. Of course, that's all going to be on our website as well. And that all leads us to this idea of the capital campaign, and we're going to pray, we're going to plan, and we're going to pledge during this year of preparation, and plans are well underway to launch our first ever large-scale capital campaign this fall, and our goal is going to be to raise a significant amount of money over a 2 to 3 year time frame. We're talking a lot of money, more than we've ever raised before. This project is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood by time the purchase of the building plus the renovation of it, making it ready for us, somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million, a total project. And as we get closer to the campaign dates, we're going to be hosting smaller open houses. Cheryl and I are going to put those together and invite you in, you know, groups of 30 people to come for an open house, and we're going to walk through the entire plan with you, share the vision, answer your questions, and hear your input. And so watch for opportunities for those open houses to take place in August and September. You can see all of that there in terms of the capital campaign. I'm going to some training in January. We're going to be putting the campaign together, open houses in August, September. The pledge week happens in November 12th, 13th, and the 5 weeks prior to that are going to be some teaching, and that's going to be the whole campaign period where you're considering what part you're going to have to play in all of this. All right? One more. All right, you want to give it up for that? Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to leave that last timeline up, but there's one more envelope. I'm not sure where it is. Who has that last envelope? Run that up here. Thanks, North. All right. Envelope number one is the last one here. And so this one is the last part of the timeline. It's about the preaching calendar and a new series. Actually, today's message, a little short message I'm going to do in a few minutes, is called Make Ready. But the next series is called Make Ready. And it's going to be an eight-message series that will help us prepare for what God has for us in 2016 and 17 and beyond. And I just really believe that before any big move of God, he ordains a season of preparation for us. Whether we realize it or not, he ordains that season of preparation. He gets us ready for it so that when the big move of God comes, we're in the right place to take full advantage of it, to receive all the maximum benefit of everything that God has for us. We want to be in that place of being ready. We want to see this as preparatory for the big move of God. And so other series that we're going to have in 2016, these are up here. Make Ready is the series I just spoke about. Savior is a little series on the personal impact of the crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and return of Christ. That's all around Easter. A four-week series that we have talked about for more than a year called Jesus on Money. And really just, Jesus said so many things about money, and we're going to get into the Gospels and figure all those things out. And that's really going to help us in our discipleship. We're going to do some Gospel of Luke through the summer, June and August specifically. And then a little series called The Unstoppable Church to launch the new ministry year in September. I'm going to do two of those messages. And then we have two guests coming in who are really going to help us celebrate our 15th anniversary as a church. Pastor Ron Zappi, who's been here before from Harvest Naperville. He's a first church planter out of Harvest Chicago. And Pastor Jamie Mitchell from Lancaster, PA, and he's fairly new to our fellowship, but both these guys bring a lot of energy, and they're going to speak in this series called Unstoppable Church. And then I'm going to do a series during the campaign period. We're going to do a series called The 5G Christian, which really just fills in some of the gaps on what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So looking forward to sharing all of that with you through 2016. And just some final comments before we get into the Word. I know I've thrown a lot at you. This video is going to be on the website, and so you're going to want to access that. And as well, we're going to be setting up a website, 7georgestreet.ca, and that's going to have all of this information on it, including the form that you can use to respond back to us. It's going to have frequently asked questions and such, and just more detail about all that we've talked about here today. We're going to send out links via Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and now, as of this very moment, the social media blackout is now over, and so everyone can post whatever you want. I had last night's service and this morning's service in the Maxwell Smart Cone of Silence, and so that's lifted, and you can speak about it all very, very freely now and celebrate loudly and enthusiastically what God is doing here. All right? So let's get into God's Word for a few moments. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we're going to be. And then we're going to celebrate the Lord's table together to close off our time. Isaiah 40, 1 to 5. The text says this, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." We need to make ready for what God has for us this year. And it starts really with an acknowledgement in the first two verses that, listen now, the wait is over. Our wait is over. In these verses, the prophet is looking forward and he's looking back. He's looking back after he looked forward, but all of it is kind of future to them, but it's kind of written in the past tense as if they're looking back on it. In other words, he's communicating hope and restoration. This is the way it's all going to turn out after you go through a tough time that you haven't gone through yet. It would be like God having met with us, sending a prophet to us in 2001 before we planted the church and saying to us, look, you are going to plant this church. You're going to have a great start. It's going to grow for several years. Then it's going to get really tough. In fact, I'm going to have to discipline you, and you're going to kind of go into the wilderness, into exile for a little while. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to slam you. I'm going to slam you really hard. You're going to lose a bunch of people. You're going to lose momentum. It's going to be very difficult, but you're going to come out of that, and you're going to start growing again, and at the end of that, I'm going to fully restore you, and I'm going to bless you by giving you a building. It's as if he'd done that, giving us the future before we had ever seen any of it and experienced any part of it. Now, when I look at these verses in Isaiah 40, and I'm sure many of you know this already, and I don't want to minimize anything that's happening in Isaiah 40 or trivialize it in any way by comparing our little situation to what is happening here, which is monumentally bigger than anything that could ever relate to Little Harvest Barry and Little Barry, Ontario, and our little situation here at Harvest. I mean, this is much more significant concerning the entire nation and God's complete plan for salvation for the world. But nevertheless, there are some principles here. There's a pattern that's established here about preparation, about being ready. And that it really starts with an understanding that that time is over, that the wait is over. We believe that God is opening this door for us, that a new chapter in our history is being written, that our time of testing and discipline is over, that we have learned the lessons of endurance and perseverance and patience. And we're eager to have that chapter written over us and about us. I really believe with all of my heart that the waiting is over and it's time. And that said, we understand with the wait being over that our preparation for what God's going to do has begun. And it isn't that God hasn't already been preparing us, because we can look at the first 15 years and go, well, all of that was preparatory for what's coming now, and that's certainly true. It's the difference between taking a class that takes an entire semester to take and taking an intensive class that only is all concentrated down into a few days. And so if you think of the regular class as being what we've been going through for 15 years, but now we're going into an intensive, and God's got some things he needs to say to us in a very short period of time to get us ready and be prepared for all that he has for us this year. And again, this passage points to something far more awesome and impactful than anything we could ever talk about here. So again, I don't want to trivialize it in any way by making it relate to us directly. But when he's talking in verse 3, a voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who is the fulfillment of this prophecy? Who is the one making the path straight? It's John the Baptist. It's John the Baptist. He's the herald of Christ. And so you have this, and that's who he's heralding, is the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. And so this is about the entire scope of salvation history. And so I do want to be careful about relating it to our situation. But again, that was a big move of God. Wouldn't we agree? The coming of Messiah? Pretty much the biggest move of God, correct? The biggest move of God was sending his son to the world as a savior. And again, there's a pattern here. It's repeated throughout the Bible. And again, I want to repeat what I said a few minutes ago. Before any big move of God, whether we realize it or not, God ordains a season of preparation so that when the big move comes, we're fully prepared to receive the maximum benefit from what God intends. I don't want to miss it. And so we want to do what these verses say. We want to prepare the way of the Lord. We want to make straight in the desert a highway. We don't want a winding road. We need a straight road. We want valleys to be lifted up so it's not all up and down. We want every mountain and hill to be made low. We want any uneven ground to become level. We want the rough places to become a plain. We're asking God to smooth our way. And we want to understand our own part in what it means to smooth out the path in front of us. What's going to make this easier? How can we best prepare for what God has for us? Well, first of all, I would say this, keeping our eyes on the mission to make disciples. That's the mission. That was the mission when we started. It was the mission when we were at Emmett King Elementary School. It was the mission here at Timothy. It's the mission all the way through. It's going to be the mission always. Making disciples, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and keeping our eyes focused on that and not on the building, keeping our eyes focused on that is going to be so critical to having this smooth way, this level path in front of us. Focusing on our own walk with Christ. Praying like we've never prayed before. Amping up our commitment as the followers of Christ who are part of this church family. What does that mean? How can I amp up my commitment? Well, I would just say this to you. If you're not yet a member of Harvest, now's the time to become a member and get part of this. Become a part of all of this. If you're not in a small group, it's so integral to who we are as a church, then join a small group and get with some other people and in relationship with them. If you're not serving yet, you don't have a place where you're working for Christ, find a place of service in the church and start serving. If you're not giving yet or not giving to an appropriate level, proportionate to your income and generous and regular, all the principles we see for giving in the scriptures. If you're not doing that yet, start doing that. Become a part of the thing that God is doing here. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, and surrender your life to him and find the freedom that you can have in Christ and become part of his church and then take full advantage of all the benefits he's going to pour out on his children as we reach for this throughout the next year and a half. Wherever you are, take a step. Become a part of it. The preparation has begun. Lord willing, 11 months until we get the keys to that building and 18 months until we go in. And all along the way, God wants to do a deep work of bringing us closer to him. The wait is over. The preparation has begun. And if we do these things, God's glory will be revealed. Believe it. God's glory will be revealed. That was the whole intent for Israel. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I love the idea of all flesh seeing it. And for us, what this is going to mean, having this building at 7 George Street is going to give us a visibility we've not had in the city to date. And again, I've already mentioned the moving from the outskirts of the city into the core. This is something churches don't do today. We're doing something unusual. We're buying a building that's prominent in our city. People know about it. It's going to be news. City Hall is going to know about it. The media is going to find out about it. People who have been in that building are all going to be very interested that a church is going into that building. This is going to be newsworthy in the city of Barrie. We're not doing it for our name, but we want this to be a way that the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified in the city of Barrie. And going to the core of our city again is going to give us opportunities for ministry where we can make a significant impact for him where we have not yet to date made an impact. We want the glory of the Lord to be revealed in our midst. And the elders really want you to know that what we're embarking on here, it sounds cliche and every pastor says it at a time like this, but it's not about a building. But it is about growing our faith. It's not about a building, but it is about deepening our devotion to Christ and increasing our capacity to worship and energizing our gifts for ministry and fanning into flame the mission to tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about all of those things. It's about making us more holy and radiating more fully the glory of God in our lives and in this church. So please hear this, because the elders want you to know. The big announcement was not about 7 George Street. The big announcement was that by this time next year, we will be more holy. We will be more passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. We will know him more intimately. We will be more focused on the mission to make disciples. We will have a deeper faith in our God. We will walk with him more closely. The big announcement is that we're inviting God to do the unexplainable. The big announcement is that we're seeking him to manifest his presence in this church in a way that we have not yet seen. That's the big announcement. So let's make ready for that. Amen? Do you want to get ready for that? God, do that in our midst, please. And so all of that said, we're going to share in the Lord's table together to close off our time and just worship him and thank him. And of all the things that the Lord's table really points to, there are two themes that kind of stand out. One is the theme of gratitude. And in many churches, the Lord's table is called the Eucharist. And that's from the Greek word, which means thanksgiving. And really, when we come to the table, we're so grateful and we're expressing gratitude to God for what he did in sending his son for us, shed his blood to give his body for us so that we could find the forgiveness of sins, so we could become the sons and daughters of the king. So gratitude, it's a big part of this. But then when Jesus inaugurated the Lord's table, he did it with his closest followers and he told them that they should take this together. So it's not something we ever do alone. It's not something that on my own I'm going to take some juice and some bread and take the Lord's table. It's not the intent of it. We're meant to do this as a community, as a family. We're meant to do it together. It's a demonstration, a very real way of the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ as his body, with him as the head. And so I want us to think about those two things as we take the table today. Our gratitude for what he's done, and the oneness that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you're a guest here today or fairly new to Harvest and you haven't been here for a communion service, it's an open table. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcome to come. We're gonna have you come up for the table today, and our servers can make their way right now. They'll be standing at the front. And when you go up, there's gonna be two cups that are stacked together. One has the bread in it, one has the juice. Just take both of those cups out together. Then return to your seat. Just wait until everybody's been served and we'll receive the elements together. But here's what I want you to do before you even come up, because I know that when we do this kind of communion where you come, that most people just jump up right away and stand in line and get it and come back. And I don't want it to be that formulaic. I really want you to spend a little bit of time, as much as you need really, praying and seeking God and asking him if you're ready to be made ready for the big move that he wants to make. Now, what's cool about what we've already talked about here is, even if you're not part of this church and you're just with us for today and you're never gonna come back again, but you are a Christ follower, you can take the table today, because we already said the big move is about growing in him. The big move is about passion and faith and mission. It's not about 7 George Street. So when you've prayed, and you've sought the Lord, and you've decided, I want it to be that kind of year. I want to be on a year of preparation for whatever you have for me this year, Lord. You have that time in prayer, and then when you're ready, you can come up and get the table and return to your seat. And again, when everybody's been served, I'll lead us to take the elements together. Father, I thank you for what you've done in this place and in this church already. We're anticipating greater things ahead. We're grateful for this table where we can express to you our gratitude and our love for you. Say again how thankful we are that Jesus gave his life for us, made it possible for us even to talk to you right now. And God, I pray that in taking this here today and together, we would be demonstrating the oneness that we have as a church, as a family, before you. So God, bless this place with your very presence. Pour your grace out on this time. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. We always love hearing about the work God's doing in our listeners. If God's been doing a work in you, send us an email at info@harvestberry.ca. And remember, you are loved.